recognize before we read the verse. This is God's message to us as believers in the church age, which we live in. And recognize as we read these few verses that it is assuming that people are connected in a church, not just showing up occasionally, but they're really connected. They really have committed to one another and to holding each other one together and working and helping one another and to be growing in Christ together. That's the assumption that's underwritten this whole passage. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. In other words, privately, by the way. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So you have the group now coming together. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. That only makes sense if the body is committed to already to be together and accountable and agreed to hold each other accountable. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. In other words, respond to him as if someone who is outside the fellowship. And we'll talk about that. That's not the topic right now. Prerequisites for involvement in church discipline. The first verse, 15, has a couple points that I wanted to bring out. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Okay, now, here's the context. Was the sin directed at you? Now, the structure here is not for you to have someone sin against you and you run to me and you say, you go tell him! That is unbiblical, and I'm telling you, my response is going to be pretty swift. You need to take a deep breath. You need to take a prayer, and then you need to go talk to them. And shame on you. It's sin, by the way. It's sin for you to have come to me before you've gone to them. Does he understand the point? There ought to be this interaction. There ought to be this type of a fellowship. Now, we're a long ways from where we need to be in this. We ought to be a whole lot closer together. We ought to know each other a whole lot better than we do, but that's where we're aiming. And there ought to be accountability, and there ought to be this ability. Now, by the way, I have some thoughts in regards to how you go to another person. One is Proverbs 18:13. It says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, to falling to shame unto him. Don't assume you got the facts right without asking. So you go asking, not telling. I can't spend much time on this. We'll go on. Forget it. If I'm not directly involved, is the situation dire enough that it requires my third-party involvement? You understand it's outside of this passage. If that's where it's starting, for you to interact, yet many people look to have a third party get involved. No. It's really to be one-on-one. That's where it's supposed to have its roots. And it's supposed to be done in love. Remember that. We're seeking reconciliation. We're seeking a closer walk with Jesus Christ and a closer walk with one another. Number two, is the sinner a fellow believer? Moreover, if your brother sins against you, when it says brother, it's not talking about your biological brother. In the New Testament, it is talking about another one who has accepted Jesus Christ and is part of the family of God. It is in that context we're supposed to do this. Now, it may well work with your unbelieving friends. It's always good to go and talk with people that you have a challenge with who have offended you and talk with them, see if you can work it through. But I'm just saying to you, God gave this to the church because the church is supposed to work. The world knows how to split up. They know how to keep a fight going for years, don't they? I mean, I've known families that had situations go on 8, 10, 12 years ago and they haven't talked since, which is stunning to me, frankly. But the point is, this passage is to believers. So it is directed to you when you have been directly offended, and it is saying in regards to that we're really talking about when it's offended by another believer. Just the context. Now, could the principles be used in a non-believer environment? Somewhat. But the message is for the church. for the family, for our church family. And I'm not talking about you just casually showing up. I'm talking about where you really joined and you're part of the work and you're accountable and you make a covenant to live and hold each other accountable. Are those involved Christians? That's a great question. I'll tell you what. Here's why I say that. There are so many people in our culture that call themselves Christians that have no concept of knowing Jesus Christ personally. And if they're one of those that just talking about, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you might want to explore that a little bit before you go too far on what sin issue is going on. Because transformation starts with a new heart. It starts by coming to know Jesus Christ. And so if you want to help your friend, help them understand how they can come to Jesus and have their sins forgiven. That's the sweet truth. And so don't ever forget that. Don't ever assume that either. I mean, you need to go at this graciously. More than one person who said they've been a Christian for years is confronted in different situations to say, whoa, I don't think I know Jesus like you know Jesus. Help me understand what that's like. I believe I sing that song every day. Nearly every time I have my devotional time, I sing that song. You know why? Because of that verse. I surrender all. And I remind myself that that means I hold nothing back. I'm His. Isn't that a good thing to start off your day with? It's a good challenge, I'll tell you. It's a good thing to think about it around noon also. See how well you've been doing. Okay, I want to keep moving on this. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell it his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. The point is that this passage is about someone sinning against you and what you should do about it. Number two, it is talking about how believers are to interact in these matters. And number three, has the offended party confronted the offender? I started off with that comment, but this is really, really sad. Really, really sad. Most people do not want to deal with their own problems. They really would like someone else to solve them, and that's not God's way. It starts there. Now, there are a few situations where you need to think through this and sometimes have to make sure you're using wisdom in this. Let's take a situation where a wife is getting brutally beat by her husband. Now, in that situation, I often will intervene or have my wife intervene with the woman when they confront, normally myself, but sometimes my wife with the lady. And here's my assumption. In the midst of that beating going on, I suspect she has already been trying to help him understand that that's not a good behavior. And so that there, you could assume that it is already. And in some of those situations, even having space where you're doing it over the phone and you seek shelter is a great idea. God doesn't want anybody to get beat up by another person, okay? And let me just say this in a public sense. We have helped a lot of people get out of very, very, very violent situations. Sometimes we've had to work for 3 weeks to orchestrate it until the time was right where we could get the woman and the children out together and into safe housing. So as you hear about these situations, let me tell you, that's something believers ought to be burdened about helping. Okay, we really, really ought to be at the forefront of ministering in these situations. But let me also say to you that your involvement doesn't end with just getting them out of the house in that situation and into a safe environment. That is a long journey. 90% of the times I've personally been involved, the couple ultimately gets back together, which is a good thing. In many, many cases, they're able to get together in a way which is very honoring to God. It doesn't happen in one day, however. All right, so I wanted to bring those points. Now, the fourth point is this. I'm switching now to Galatians. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, if they're overtaken in a trespass, You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Talk about us coming alongside. But there are some truths that need to really be thought about here. I have had more people come to me say, no, I can't confront, Pastor, you're going to have to do it because I'm just not spiritual enough. What a cop-out. You know what? If you know, not get ahead of myself. Notice what it says in Matthew. Matthew does give us some guidance on this. Matthew chapter 7. I have it footnoted or in margin or now in my electronic Bibles. I have a note so that I can go over to this other verse. It says in Matthew chapter 7, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, again, just a pastoral comment. It's almost laughable to me, but it's laughable in a very, very sad way. How often couples get into situations where they can't get along, and here is what they can't get along. They won't change the way you want them to change, and you won't change the way they want you to change. And the whole emphasis is, I'm going to get them to change. And they have the same focus. And let me just tell you, that is so unbiblical, and it is so wrong, and it never works. Here is what works. Here's something you can control. Purpose to get the plank out of your own eye. You can change yourself. And it is incredible if you will commit to the change that is God-honoring and biblical, how fast the other person will respond differently. It really, really is incredible. Okay. A little off overboard here. I get a little passionate in this because I see it so often. These are the three, but here's the fourth point. Are you spiritual enough to intervene? Okay, I wanted to talk about that a second, because they come to me, and, oh, I'm not spiritual, I can't do that. It is such a cop-out. The issue is this. Have you addressed the plank? How do you address sin in your own life? Well, I know a verse. Brother Jerry could quote it for us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How long does that take? You look at that verse, how long would it take you to clean up your life? Confess your sin, and God is faithful to clean you up. So what's the point here with the plank? If you are thinking about going to another, you ought to ask yourself, how are you doing in your own sin? And if something comes to mind, you ought to purpose right then and there to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. God help me. I'm going to clean up my act. Make that your first focus. You understand? Number two, am I right with the Lord? Great question. Now, here is not an excuse to say, well, I'm not spiritual, I can't get... No, it is a challenge. It is a reminder, get right. It's not an excuse to have someone else go do what you want done. It ought to be a conviction for you to get to be the person you ought to be so that you can be used of God in the life of another for God's glory, not yours, not your purposes, but His. Is my heart right? You know, I had my iPad stolen a couple weeks ago at church. Now, this really been a good exercise for me, frankly. I honestly believe God allowed it to happen so that I could really examine my own heart. Because it is really annoying to think that it happened here. Okay? You know, it would be different if it would have been in my car and I forgot to lock the doors or something like that. But no. I set it down here and I walked away and it was gone. Okay. What's the issue? I'll tell you what the issue is. I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. And that iPad wasn't mine either. We're all God's. God had a different plan. God is using that, I shouldn't say past tense, is using that to mature me. And so we ought to be asking ourselves, are we right in this issue? Are we right with him? That's the goal. Whether we lose all of our possessions, even our physical life, if we draw closer to God in the process, it's worth it. That's the beauty. Is the life fair? You know, well before I was a Christian, when I was a little 4- and 5-year-old, I remember my dad coming to me when I would come and complain about my older brothers. And let me tell you, I had some things to complain about. My two older brothers, I'll give you an example. My parents were gone. We were all jumping on the bed, just like, you know, the rhyme goes. Well, the bed broke. I was not even on the bed when the bed broke. My two older brothers got off the bed, looked at each other, and then looked at me, and they said, you know, it's senseless for all three of us to get punished. When, who broke the bed? And I said, I didn't break the bed. So I got punished not only for breaking the bed, which I didn't break, but for lying. And I really got it. So let me say that, you know, life is not fair. Get over it. My dad would say that to me all the time. He said, don't give me that. Life is not fair. Do right. That's what was his full statement. Life is not fair. Just do right. Don't come to me groaning and moaning that didn't work out the way you think it should have. It worked out the way it did. Now handle it properly. That's a good way to go through life, let me tell you. Is your heart right? Is your life right? Am I qualified to do this? The answer is, if you're not, repent and then get qualified. Do I need to repent of any sin? And I say that to you at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. What's going on in your life that ought to be repented of? That's why we gather together. I don't know about you. I'm gathering together so I can be encouraged to be more the man God wants me to be. And I want to encourage you to be the man or woman that God wants you to be. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, it starts with submitting, surrendering to him for who he is. He is the Son of God who died on the cross, paying the price for your sins. There'll be a day when you wish you would have, if you don't. Every knee is going to bow. Everybody's going to recognize the truth of that statement. Okay, those are the 4 points. Prerequisites. Make sure it's you that was directly sinned against. Make sure it's a believer, because that's what it's in the context of. Make sure the offender, if they've come into you, has already gone to the one who is offended, goes to the one who is the offender before you get involved. And make sure you're right to intervene, but don't use it as an excuse not to. Just get right. That makes sense, doesn't it? God's word really works if you just put it to life, to practice. But it honestly is supposed to be inside a committed fellowship of believers. I cannot overemphasize this. The church is to be a committed member of group of committed individuals that are committed to one another for the purpose of accountability and change so that we'll glorify God in our lives. It's a very serious thing that every genuine believer who isn't a member of a good church, Lord help you, I am telling you, we're a long ways out of God's plan when that's the case.